You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really glad to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again. Today, he's here to give us an update on SK Mining. That is a sponsor to this show as well. SK trades in Toronto under ESK. You can buy it down here in the States under ESKYF. 169.4 million shares, $1.68 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of around $285 million in U.S. funds. Welcome, Dr. Henning, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure to hear from you, no doubt about that. Now, I want to know, maybe for the sake of people who aren't familiar with SK, I think our regular listeners to the show are familiar with it probably, but we get new people from time to time. Maybe just give the overall investment thesis for this story.
Absolutely. That's a good place to start. SK Mining has a very large land package, about 520-odd square kilometers, that are immediately adjacent to the old SK Creek mine, which is now under the control of Skeena Resources. SK Creek, if you look back in history, was one of the highest-grade mines ever operated on planet Earth. It was a high-grade, what we call VMS, volcanogenic massive sulfide deposit. And it was discovered in the late 1980s. It was at a time when gold wasn't really trading all that flash. It was, you know, I think when the deposit was found, I think gold was trading around 300 or 320 an ounce, yeah, or something in that range. But it sure made a lot of noise in the market back in that time. That this was one of the most amazing discoveries really ever made in Canada. There was a lot of question about what it was when they first drilled it. Nobody quite understood the geology. They didn't understand what it was. You know, but after a few years, they recognized it was a VMS deposit, one of these seafloor black smoker type deposits. Mm-hmm. And in one of the people in particular who helped define that was Thomas Monachy, who's part of our team here at SK Mining. Thomas is a professor at the Colorado School of Mines, and he did his dissertation at SK Creek. SK Creek, you know, is a modest scale total production. It's about 3.3 million ounces of gold and about 160 million ounces of silver, but extremely high grade. The average grade was about 46 grams per ton life of mine, and the silver grade was about 2.2 kilograms of ton per, yeah, so you know, life of mine. So you can see it was an extremely rich deposit. Now, the deposit that was mined by Homestake and then Barrick back in the old days had a lot of lower grade, not low grade, but lower grade material in and around it. So Skeena has presently drilled to find, I think, on the order of 5 or 6 million ounce gold equivalent.
Wow.
But, you know, at lower grade. So we'll call it, you know, 4 or 5 gram gold equivalent. But it will fall in an open pit. It's a big system that can definitely produce a lot of gold, probably a few hundred thousand ounces. I think they've done a pre-feasibility level study that generates several hundred thousand ounces, maybe 400 or 500 thousand ounce gold equivalent per year for a life of mine that's over 10 years. So it's a good project, but we've got the rest of the system here. We got the entire district of prospective rocks for these VMS deposits. We, you know, when VMS form on the seafloor, they tend to form in clusters. And each deposit might be, you know, if anywhere from a few million tons up to even sometimes 10 plus million tons or tens of millions of tons. And what's always, you know, kind of been a mystery at SK Creek or this region is you have a great deposit at SK Creek. Where's the rest of these things? You know, where's the cluster of VMS, if you will? And, you know, we hold probably 85% of the prospective ground for this style of deposit. So we're out there exploring for SK Creek analogs, and we've already found two, TV and Jeff. and they've grown dramatically just in the past year, a couple of years with drilling. And now we're hitting it hard this year. We're getting out, and we're going to try to find some more.
Yeah, and the announcement just came this morning of the program, the 2022 drill program. You have a somewhat short season. It's up there in British Columbia. But you'll start, I guess this year is starting as early as any year, the way from what I can see. You're getting an early start compared to some years anyway, from what I can discern. Now, talk to us a little bit about this program. I know that a good part of it is going to have to do with the TV and Jeff that you just referred to. And I think there's some indication or some belief that these two that are there 4 or 5 kilometers apart may be connected.
Yes, that's the working hypothesis. We did a lot of work last year between the two areas and then even to the north and to the south where they extend along strike. And we've defined a corridor of about 5 or 6 kilometers in length in which we're seeing really good soil samples that tell us there's a lot more mineralization. They did find rock samples and some evidence, you know, strong evidence of more of this style of mineralization along strike. So these systems are likely connected at some level. We don't know exactly how yet because we got to drill it, but we have a hunch that the overall strike extent of the TV Jeff area is at least 5 kilometers. It's open in both directions still. And what we're going to do this year is do a very systematic program of drilling fences, so lines of holes, and these holes would be oriented. The holes themselves are oriented from east to west, so they angle back towards the west. And we drill fences, which means one hole after another, so that we make sure that if any mineralization is kind of running through an area, the overlapping fences make sure that you actually see that in your drilling. So we're gonna cast a big net, if you will, across this area, and try to find the extensions, the connections between TV and Jeff, the extensions. And perhaps even new deposits. You know, this is a bit of a third-dimensional game, too, because some of these deposits occur in different parts of the stratigraphy. So we know, for example, that the Jeff system ties in with the lower part of the TV system. And we don't know yet, but will soon, if there's mineralization that equates to the upper TV system over Jeff, and then vice versa, if there's mineralization that equates to the Jeff system over at TV. But we're going to find out. We have a lot of drilling, 30,000 meters this year. A lot of it will be focused along this corridor, but we're going to test new areas too. We've got, for example, Excelsior, which is on the west side of the anticline. It's immediately over the top of the SK anticline from TV and Jeff. And we're going to test areas that, again, showed up as very strong soil anomalies in last year's program. They look like basically TV Jeff style anomalies, but just dipping on the west side of the anticline. So, you know, think of it like a rainbow, you know, where if TV and Jeff are the pot in one side of the rainbow, then we're going to go over and test the other side of the rainbow. And then up at Scarlet Ridge, we're going to hit that area very hard. That was an area we found late last year, really encouraging mineralization in the field, strong signs of extensive VMS system in that location. We did find historic data from a company called Granges, which drilled some holes there right around the time of the SK Creek discovery. They actually hit some high grade, but never followed up. And this area just looks ripe for another, you know, yet another discovery of these VMS deposits. We also have a lot of work planned down at C10 and Vermilion. Mm-hmm. One of the big pushes this year is we have crews hired to go out and do a lot of prospecting level activities, which is really important in that period prior to drilling. We want these crews to go out and do mapping and sampling and identify, the best areas to test with the drill hole later this season. So we got a big, big push on that front.
Yeah. Well, 30,000 meter drill program from what I read, and how much of that will be devoted to TV and Jeff?
Yeah, about 2/3 goes to TV and Jeff, and then the remaining 1/3 goes to testing these new targets that will pop up around Excelsior, Scarlet Ridge, maybe even down at C10 and Vermilion. We're gonna hit this pretty hard this year. And then, look, the other aspect, I think it kind of moved slow last year due to COVID, but that road that we've work on with Seabridge is supposed to be under commencement here shortly. And that road takes us right past the old Sibululu target area. We didn't do any drilling there last year because it makes more sense to wait and until the road passes that area so that we have easier access and we can drill that more cheaply. So we put that target, not because it's not geologically important, but simply because we can drill it cheaper once the road is in. We put it down the list a bit, but we do anticipate that road being completed this season, that first segment at least.
Yeah, as I recall, that Sib is more to the north on the whole consolidated property.
Yes, Sibululu is actually on the west side of the anticline, uh-huh. And it's a long strike, so a long strike to the south-southwest from the old SK Creek mine. It's right. part of that system, yes.
Right. Oh, a lot of exciting things going on. What about, this is a gold-silver-rich polymetallic. There's some other base metals in there as well. Has there been some metallurgical studies done on this, Quentin?
We've done a lot of petrography here recently, identifying the ore minerals and how they, mm-hmm. they're situated in the rock. And we will be doing some metwork out of the samples that we collect from drilling this year. Mm-hmm. But one of the advantages we have already, Jay, is that the metallurgy has been done extensively at the SK Creek deposit. And from what we can see, the samples, the material that we've collected and studied under the microscope from our project very strongly resembles that at the old SK Creek mine. So Skeena have done a lot of metallurgy already. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, just my instinct is that the results we get from any metallurgical work we do will be very similar, you know, to the Skeena's work. So we're very confident this should be able to be processed and generate a very high value product.
Do you see the TV Jeff target? Is that likely to be an underground mine if it becomes a mine?
It's always possible. I mean, look at the original SK Creek deposit. That was a very high-grade underground mine. If we find that high, like we've got some really nice high-grade intercepts in both locations. Mm-hmm. At Jeff, it tends to be more on the gold end of the spectrum, you know. But we've seen a lot of bonanza grades there, and then at TV, we've seen more silver actually. So we've got some really high-grade silver, you know, often thousands of grams per ton. Silver, especially up in that upper VMS that was found late last year. So yeah, there's obviously always that potential, that dream of finding an absolute replicate of the original SK Creek mine. That would like to be an underground mine, but the more likely outcome is that the big system here, this 5-kilometer corridor, mm-hmm. and Jeff will be akin to the Skeena system that they're now developing. You know, and the footprint of TV Jeff, importantly, is about two times the size of the one that Skeena's tackling at the moment.
Yeah, so maybe at depth there's something richer, possibly. You don't know.
I don't know, but the systems in this area seem to generate that very high grade, really juicy style of mineralization. So,
indeed. All right. Well, I take it the company's financed for this drill program.
Yes, right. we raised money, I think, back in March or April, and so the company has, I think, around 9 or 10 right now. They have a lot of warrants coming in. In fact, I think a lot of that money is actually in place at this point. So, and I haven't caught up with how much warrants have been exercised, but I think a lot of it is. So I think, yeah, the funding's all in place at this point.
All right. So I guess people should just be watching for drill results. Anything else? Drill results, of course, are going to be quite a few weeks away yet, but anything else they should keep their eyes on for this?
Yeah, look, we'll give updates as we work on this. It's pretty easy to see mineralization, mm-hmm. this mineralization stuff. We'll be able to talk about that and talk about the progress the prospecting crews are having out in the field. I think I'm really excited to watch them, you know, get into these areas like Scarlet Ridge and Excelsior and stir up some new targets. So we'll talk as we develop our new targets from this data. We'll be talking about that.
Very good.
People fired up.
Yeah, we'll certainly be keeping our eyes on it. This is one I'm covering in my newsletter, of course, and also it is a sponsor of the show. And Not unimportantly to me, I own a few shares myself, so I'm quite interested. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us again. Look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Thank you, Jay.
Alrighty, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Doug Nolan will be with me. He's a portfolio manager for the Tactical Short Strategy at McIlvany Wealth Management. Doug is concerned about, you know, most people think it's not going to happen here, hyperinflation, but he sees the potential dangers of that happening. So this is a very important discussion. I think we're going to have. You want to stick around and hear what Doug has to say. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
On Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Reyna Gold is a newly listed company trading on the OTCQB under the symbol REYGF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol REYG. Its flagship asset, La Gloria, is a 24,000-hectare district-scale property in the prolific Mojave Sonora megashear in Mexico, between La Herradura, Mexico's biggest gold mine by Fresnillo, and El Chanate mine by Alamos Gold. La Gloria has very high-grade sampling and is in the first phase of a 10,000-meter drill program. The technical team is led by Dr. Peter McGaw, co-founder of Mag Silver, and Doug Kirwin, former VP of Ivanhoe Mines. Learn more at reynagold.com.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.